God's Word for You, continuing with Psalm 119, today verses 73 to 75. My outline of the great psalm takes the theme of this stanza, which is love for God's Word, and notes that it always follows a section describing the return to God's Word, as we just saw in verses 65 to 72, and it comes before a section that will describe the believer's life among God's wicked enemies, which we're going to see in verses 81 to 88. Now, a poem about sanctified living also separates between the enemy section from the return section, and this is the round that the psalm seems to make, in my view. This is the third of five rounds through this same spiraling outline. In these verses in particular, we see the psalmist declare, "Your law is my delight," verse 77. And each verse here begins with the Hebrew letter Yod. Verse 73. "Your two hands made me, and they keep me safe. Give me understanding so I may learn your commandments." God made us, and he preserves us even now. The form of the noun hands in our verse is dual, that is to say, it speaks of two things in a pair. And therefore, there is some poetic anthropomorphism here, since God the Father is a spirit and has neither hands nor any need of hands, but it helps us, his creatures, to think of him as having hands and the fingers by which he inscribed the law in Exodus 31, and by which he permits his son to drive out demons, as Jesus says in Luke 11:18. The act of creation was not necessary. God made our world and our universe as a free and voluntary deed, for he does whatever pleases him, Psalm 115, verse 3. The glory of creation is expounded in Psalm 104. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, Psalm 104:31. Besides making all, he preserves all. He keeps me safe. As the psalm says, these all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. That's Psalm 104, 27 and 28. If God were to withdraw his hand, a creature would cease to exist. For all existence depends solely on the power of his will. In him, all things hold together, Paul says in Colossians 1:17. He preserves directly, but also through means or mediately, such as through the growing seasons, the water cycle, and so forth. So while man's existence directly depends on God's will, we are indirectly dependent upon a means of livelihood, which he also gives to us. God gives us our daily bread, but we must work for it under the curse of Adam, Genesis 3:19. It is still God's will today that, as Paul says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. In a unique form of what I think is synonymous parallelism, the acts of creating and preserving in the first line are transformed into the acts of giving understanding, a kind of creation, and preserving that understanding through learning in the second line. We might illustrate this with, for example, an idea followed by meditation, or a hypothesis followed by testing and proof. Verse 74. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. Well, here is the delight of fellowship. Those who are truly believers, those who fear you, rejoice when they see me, for I too put my faith in God, our Maker and Savior. I have put my hope in God's word. The word hope is one we already saw in verse 49. Our goal is to return to God in heaven. He caused our souls to be created in the flesh of our bodies when we were first formed at conception. That's Psalm 104, verse 30. And we will be with him, both body and soul, forever after the resurrection. This is only possible when we put our trust entirely in Christ. And this brings us to the next verse, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteousness itself. and you have afflicted me in faithfulness. Righteousness is presented here as a noun, not an adjective. To be righteous is to be within the circle of Christ. In Christ there is pure righteousness and no sin, Luther writes in a sermon. Sin has no dominion over him. Whoever therefore possesses Christ and eats of this food, Luther's thinking of John 6, which is about faith and not about the Lord's Supper, which is pure righteousness and undefiled by sin, is by this eating, that is believing, also righteous. Sin can no longer accuse him, nor is God's wrath upon him. So because he believes in Christ, sin is taken away. When we are afflicted by God, it is because he has faithfully turned us back again to trust in him. We continue to sin, or we would not be continually afflicted. But his affliction has as its goal not merely punishment, but change for the better, change toward living under his will and with faith in Christ for all our forgiveness. The use of God's holy covenant name, the Lord, also illustrates the same point. The verse begins, "I know, O Lord, your laws are righteousness." It is the Lord who makes promises to man and who keeps those promises. It is the Lord who came as our Redeemer to rescue us from sin. The Lord's holy name is a gospel name, proclaiming his grace and favor, his compassion, and reminding us that no matter what way we have fallen and no matter how terrified we become because of his wrath, he is also the loving God who sent his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.